The prophets of God began their prophetic career with a definite call. Amos, who was a herdsman at Tekoa, declared this in Amos chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, "I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees." And yet Amos, he felt a divine obligation to preach. For you'll notice in Amos at chapter 3, in verse 8 it says, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord Jehovah hath spoken, who can but prophesy?" And Isaiah, he saw a vision of divine glory, and he heard the voice of God calling for a messenger. And in the first part of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then Isaiah knew. He knew what was meant for him to do, and he volunteered and said, "Here I am, send me." Ezekiel, he saw a dazzling and mysterious throne chariot of God, and from this experience that he had, he realized that he also was to preach the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that which I give thee. And when I looked, and behold, a hand of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there were written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And he said unto me, Son of man, eat that which thou findest, eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." An essential mark in a prophet of God, a true prophet, is his prophetic consciousness and his assurance of a call from God. Did you know that we too have a similar call? Oh, it's not some audible call that comes from heaven above, but we have a call that comes from the pages of the Bible. You remember? In Mark 16, verse 15, where we're told to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to the whole creation. My friends, that's our call. Our call to go out and to preach the gospel. Well, it was near the end of the 7th century B.C. when the Almighty sent a marvelous prophet to preach to the nation of Judah. This man of God was named Jeremiah. A man who was often referred to in various writings as the weeping prophet. And as has been mentioned already, he was called the weeping prophet because of his great compassion that he had for his people, his love for them, and his mourning over their transgressions. I don't believe there's ever been a prophet that had faced more difficult tasks than Jeremiah did. The book of Jeremiah shows how that this messenger of God faithfully proclaimed the word of God to a people who, for the most part, had no interest in hearing what he had to say. Matter of fact, they had hatred toward him and toward the word of God. This message that Jeremiah gives to the people of God begins with a charge and a commission that's given to Jeremiah. You'll notice in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we have Jeremiah's call. You'll notice there in verse 1 it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. We learn that Jeremiah was of the priestly order, and that his father Hilkiah resided in Anathoth, which was one of the priestly cities. And as was mentioned earlier, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because of his emotional and sympathetic interest in the people of God. The question that I have for us this afternoon is this: should we not have the same kind of emotion for the lost and dying in this world? Why not be called the weeping Christians? Because of our great concern and sympathy for those in the world who are lost and dying in sin. Should we not be weeping for those of our brethren who are in error, who find themselves in sin? I believe one of the reasons the church is not growing like it used to and is not as strong as it used to be is because we're not weeping enough. We don't have enough concern for the lost. We don't have enough concern for God's truth. And we need to take a page out of the book of Jeremiah and his great concern. You'll notice as we continue in Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, it says, to whom the word of Jehovah came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah the son of Joash, Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. It was to this son of Hilkiah that the word of the Lord came for over 40 years. And this phrase, the word of Jehovah came, occurs some 20 times in the book of Jeremiah. So we see here then that Jeremiah's message was not a message from his own mind, but it was a message that he had received by divine inspiration. We can't help but be reminded of what we find in 2 Peter 1 in verse 21, where it says, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God being moved by the Holy Spirit. And my friends, that describes Jeremiah. By inspiration speaking to the people of God. He says in Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, now the words of Jehovah came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Now we need to realize that God sees into the future with as much certainty as he does in the present. And here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, we see the providential planning of God. God's plan for Jeremiah preceded his birth. You know, this same type of foreknowledge is seen elsewhere with other people in the Bible. You remember in Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 24, about Jacob and Esau, and God knew something about their future life and what it was going to be like. And then there was David in Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16. And we remember how that in Luke 1, verse 15, he foresaw the work of John the Baptist even before he was born. And the same thing is true of Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Concerning Jeremiah, God said, I formed thee, that is, in the womb. I formed thee in the womb, that is, divinely developed. He said, I knew thee. That's divinely discerned. He said, I sanctified thee. That's divinely desired. And I appointed thee. divinely dispatched. But you know, even though God's purpose and plan for Jeremiah was very precise, it did not eliminate his free will. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in the very next verse that Jeremiah is going to exercise his free will by resisting God's plan for him. You'll notice there in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6, Jeremiah has some concern with what the Lord wants him to do. In verse 6 he says, "Ah, Lord Jehovah, behold, I know not how to speak, for I am a child." Jeremiah, like many today, was filled with terror at the realization of his duty. And as a result, he begins to make an excuse why he is not qualified to fulfill his responsibility. He says, "I do not know how to speak, for I'm a child." He believes that he's not up to the task because of his youth and because of his inexperience. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are always trying to come up with various excuses why they cannot perform their Christian duty. "I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not smart enough." Some may say, "I'm too smart." They got all kinds of excuses why they cannot do God's will. But youth should not be one of those reasons why. You remember in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Let them not despise thy youth." He still had an obligation, even though he was young. One of the songs that I remember singing as I was growing up, written by Austin Taylor, was, "There's a work for every Christian in the vineyard of the Lord. There's a work that you can do." I don't care if you're young or old. There is a work for every single Christian in the vineyard of the Lord. Well, God gives Jeremiah this commission. Jeremiah is concerned about it. He thinks he's not up to the task. And so God then gives him some consolation. You'll notice there in verse 7 that it says, "But Jehovah said unto me, say not, I am a child, for to whomsoever I send thee, thou shalt go, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak." I find it interesting that when God gave Moses a command, a responsibility to be the leader of Israel, to bring them out of Egyptian bondage, and Moses bucked that, it says that the Lord burned with anger against him in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14. But with Jeremiah, God gives him words of confidence and encouragement. You know, I believe that that's a good lesson for us to learn many times. There are a lot of young people, perhaps old people, who just lack a little bit of confidence in doing the work of the Lord. And we can be great assets to them if we will instill them confidence and encouragement. The Lord, He did not take account to the excuses of Jeremiah, because He knew what Jeremiah's ability was. He knew that he was going to grow and that he was going to be able to be a great man in His kingdom in helping, hopefully helping the people out of their situation. Today the Lord requires young and old to obey, and He does not accept excuses for our disobedience. And we need to realize that the Lord is never going to require of us more than we can do. And so all of our excuses are going to fall on deaf ears. Notice also that Jeremiah was not at liberty to speak his own mind, but he was to speak what the Lord wanted him to speak. The same should be true for us. If you remember in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It continues in Jeremiah chapter 1, God trying to encourage Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 8 it says, "Be not afraid because of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Jehovah." Now one of the hindrances for many in fulfilling their obligations to the Lord is fear. You're afraid of the consequences that are involved and maybe the difficulties that are involved with it. And many are afraid of what people might think about them or what they might say about them, what they might do to them. And so because of fear, we don't always do what we know we ought to do. But the Almighty reassures Jeremiah and says, "I am with thee to deliver thee." See, Jeremiah had just been told by God, "Do not be afraid of their faces," the King James says. God was going to be with him. The Lord's with us also. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I'd like for you also to open your Bibles with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." My friends, if we're going to be afraid of somebody, it ought not to be our fellow man. But we need to be afraid of God that we're not doing what he commands. And do you remember what Paul said in Romans at chapter 8 and verse 31? "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Jehovah continues to speak with Jeremiah about the situation. And in verse 9 he says, "Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Jehovah said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Here the Lord promises Jeremiah inspiration. Jeremiah was worried about what he was going to say, but the Lord promises to put his words in the prophet's mouth. This is what Jesus told his apostles in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. "Don't be afraid what you're going to say, because in that hour I will give thee what thou shalt say." And there are a lot of people today who are afraid to speak for the Lord, who are afraid to speak for his cause because they don't know what to say. Now the Lord is not going to touch our mouth like he did Jeremiah, but the Lord has provided us his words. And if we'll study them, and if we'll internalize them, we'll know what to say. You see, not knowing what to say is an excuse. Things that you really care about, things that you're really concerned about, say, someone was to ask you about your grandchildren or your children, how long could you talk about that? If you really love God and his word, you're going to want to study it, and it'll be easy to speak about. And that's why Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "Be ready always to give an answer or a defense to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. How are we going to be ready to give an answer? Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know, it has been said that the apostles and the men of God of old learned God's word by inspiration. We today learn God's word through perspiration. That is, digging in and studying the word of God. God continues to speak with Jeremiah in verse 10 and says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build up and to plant." Here is Jeremiah's mission as a prophet of God. And it is important for us to realize that Jeremiah's mission as a prophet runs side by side with the mission of a gospel preacher. You look at it. God told Jeremiah to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overflow. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, gospel preachers are told to reprove and rebuke. God told Jeremiah that he needed to build and to plant. Gospel preachers are told in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 to exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. God's word is powerful. And concerning his word, you'll notice in the book of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, it says, "So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." And I like the way Jeremiah said it. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, he says, speaking for the Lord, he says, "Is not my word like fire, saith Jehovah, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces?" You see, God's word, when it is preached in its purity, will either tear us down, that is, pluck up and to break down and destroy, overflow, or that same word will build us up, that is, to plant and to build. And whether or not we're torn down or built up depends on how we receive and how we react to the word of God. When you study God's word, or when you hear it preached from the pulpit or in a Bible class situation, and you listen to God's word honestly, it's going to build you up. But my friends, if you hear God's word and you react in a negative way, it's going to break you down. Jeremiah was commanded to go and to preach to these people, to break them down and to build them up. Look in your Bibles for a moment in the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, a passage that from our youth we've known. But in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." My friends, if we will, with honest and good hearts, receive the word of God, we'll be built up, and we'll be strong. That was Jeremiah's desire. That was Jeremiah's commission to preach God's word, to build up his people. But as you'll see, going through the book of Jeremiah, you remember in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 where he says, "Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein." But they said, "We will not walk therein." God's word was going to break him down. You'll notice then, after Jeremiah receives his commission and he bucks it, and then God gives him encouragement and tells him that this job you can do, you must do it, I'm going to be with you in this. The Lord then gives him confirmation. You'll notice in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said Jehovah unto me, Thou hast well seen, for watch over my word, for I watch over my word to perform it." With the consecration of Jeremiah to his prophetic office are associated two visions to give him the surety of the divine promise regarding the fulfilling of the duties that were given him. Jeremiah first sees a rod or a branch of an almond tree, and God tells Jeremiah that this vision represents the swift fulfillment of his word. God chooses the almond tree in this vision because of all the trees in the area, it is the first to bloom. And God used this vision to show that the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy were soon to come to pass. Swift destruction awaits everyone who will not be obedient to the Lord. And he tells Jeremiah that swift destruction is going to come to the people of God in his day because they will not obey God. He says, "I watch over my word to perform it." In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 13, we have this second vision. And it says, "And the word of Jehovah came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a boiling cauldron, and the face thereof is from the north." A boiling cauldron. It is like a boiling pot with a lid on it, coming from the north, and as the pot tips over, the lid comes forth, and all that's inside comes out. He's speaking of Babylon, boiling down from the north, coming down upon Israel like a boiling pot. And you'll notice in verse 14, "Then Jehovah said unto me, Out of the north evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land." Now, while Babylon is primarily to the east of Judah, the caravans that would come to their area would come across and come down from the north. And here God tells Jeremiah in this vision that this represents an invasion that's going to be coming down from the north. Micah declared in Micah chapter 3 and verse 12 concerning this calamity that was going to come. And you know what? Today, we've got to cry unto the disobedient that if they don't change their ways, destruction is going to come. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. You've got to change. You've got to repent. Destruction's coming. The Lord's shown me. It's coming our way. And one day, the Lord's going to come, and He's going to destroy all things. Are we going to be ready for it or not? In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 15, It says, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Jehovah, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." I want you to observe that while the forces would be coming from the north, it was God who was calling for this action. And I find it interesting that later God will refer to Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the Babylonian Empire, as my servant. He was going to use Nebuchadnezzar to punish his people. And we see the fulfillment of this very thing taking place in 2 Kings 24 and 25. Judah had refused to obey God, and they began to be controlled by Babylon. They would control the city. They would control the going in, the coming out. You know, today, we need to realize that when we aren't allowing God to be in control, someone else is. I want you to look with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans for a moment. In Romans at chapter 6, in verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" If we refuse to obey God, then we're going to be under the control of Satan. Israel refused to obey God, and they came to be under the control of Babylon. You are in control. You are controlled by whom you yield your allegiance to. And if you're not yielding your allegiance to God, Satan is controlling you. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, is given a charge. I want you to notice what he says there in verse 17. After he has encouraged him and given him confirmation that God is going to be with him through all this, in verse 17 he says, "Thou therefore, because of all these things I have just said, gird up thy loins and arise and speak to them all that I command thee, and be not dismayed at them, lest I dismay thee before them." They were to gird up their loins. Girding up one's loin was a symbol of preparation for readiness. Get ready for this, Jeremiah. And therefore, because of the job that was set before him, Jeremiah needed to be ready. He needed to be fearless in his proclamation of the message. And I believe that one of the reasons why the Lord's church is in a weak state in many places is because many people have not made themselves ready. We must gird up our loins. We must arise. Paul said in Ephesians at chapter 4 and verse 15, to speak the truth in love. We're also told in Jude verse 3 to contend earnestly for the faith that is once for all delivered unto the saints. And as we've already noted, we need to be ready to give a defense in 1 Peter 3 and verse 5. He tells them that they're going to fight against him. Even though he's working hard, they're going to fight against him. Look at verse 19. He says, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith Jehovah, to deliver thee." You remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2? yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Paul told us that God was always going to be with us. God told Jeremiah, I'm going to be with you. They're coming after you, but you hang in there. You fight the good fight. And we need to be the same kind of man that Jeremiah was. Thank you.